Now, today is St Andrew's Day, when the Scots remember their patron saint. Last week, the leader of the Scottish National Party, Alex Salmond, published a huge white paper which claims to answer every conceivable question about Scottish independence. It was the opening salvo in a mammoth campaign which won't end till the Scots vote on September the 18th next year. I dragged from the tea room Angus Robertson, leader of the SNP in the Commons, along with the Tory peer and the most recent Conservative Secretary of State for Scotland, Michael Forsyth. I asked Angus Robertson how the week had gone.
One should understand this as the most detailed blueprint anywhere, and I would challenge Michael to provide us with any comparison for a part of the world wishing to pursue sovereignty. I would urge people, please, read it. Download it. It's free. Just Google Scotland's Future. You can get it as a PDF, as an iBook for your Kindle. You can order it by hard copy. I can even give out the number, 0300 012 1809, and it will be sent to you. People should be able to read the document and make up their own mind.
Michael Forsyth, you're shaking your head. Is that because you don't want people to read the document?
I confess, I've read the summary and I'm struggling to work my way through it. Of course they should read it, but if they read it, what they will see is a series of promises which can't actually be afforded. But actually, all these arguments about, you know, whether the Bank of England's going to be the lender of last resort, whether Scotland would use the pound, to my mind, they are second-order questions. The real question is, do we want to make Scots soldiers decide whether they're in the Scots army or whether they're going to be mercenaries in the army of a foreign country? You know, I have children who live in London. Are they to be made foreigners in their own country? The document says, oh, well, it'll be up to the British government to decide whether they're entitled to British citizenship. I'm amazed that Angus is able to take himself seriously, which is presumably why he's spent so long talking about the document and reading the document rather than actually dealing with the issues.
We will have all these debates, Michael, and I look forward to making the case about why I think Scotland will be significantly better off democratically, economically, socially, and I believe our neighbours and friends on these islands, together with us working in a new way as equals, is eminently sensible and far better than a situation where more regularly than not we in Scotland have governments in Westminster that we don't even elect, pursuing policies that we don't want that are often, sadly, to our disbenefit.
So if you win, will there be no general election in Scotland?
Well, the issue you raise is an interesting one. This is the point you're making about will there be a UK general election in 2015? And that's actually an issue for the UK government to consider.
What's your view?
Segment 1. Now, today is St Andrew's Day, when the Scots remember their patron saint. Last week, the leader of the Scottish National Party, Alex Salmond, published a huge white paper which claims to answer every conceivable question about Scottish independence. It was the opening salvo in a mammoth campaign which won't end till the Scots vote on September the 18th next year. I dragged from the tea room Angus Robertson, leader of the SNP in the Commons, along with the Tory peer and the most recent Conservative Secretary of State for Scotland, Michael Forsyth. I asked Angus Robertson how the week had gone.
Segment 2.
One should understand this as the most detailed blueprint anywhere, and I would challenge Michael to provide us with any comparison for a part of the world wishing to pursue sovereignty. I would urge people, please, read it. Download it. It's free. Just Google Scotland's Future. You can get it as a PDF, as an iBook for your Kindle. You can order it by hard copy. I can even give out the number, 0300 012 1809, and it will be sent to you. People should be able to read the document and make up their own mind.
Michael Forsyth, you're shaking your head. Is that because you don't want people to read the document?
I confess, I've read the summary and I'm struggling to work my way through it. Of course they should read it, but if they read it, what they will see is a series of promises which can't actually be afforded.
Segment 3.
But actually, all these arguments about, you know, whether the Bank of England's going to be the lender of last resort, whether Scotland would use the pound, to my mind, they are second-order questions. The real question is, do we want to make Scots soldiers decide whether they're in the Scots army or whether they're going to be mercenaries in the army of a foreign country. You know, I have children who live in London. Are they to be made foreigners in their own country? The document says, oh, well, it'll be up to the British government to decide whether they're entitled to British citizenship. I'm amazed that Angus is able to take himself seriously, which is presumably why he's spent so long talking about the document and reading the document rather than actually dealing with the issue.
Segment 4.
We will have all these debates, Michael, and I look forward to making the case about why I think Scotland will be significantly better off democratically, economically, socially, and I believe our neighbours and friends on these islands, together with us working in a new way as equals, is eminently sensible and far better than a situation where more regularly than not we in Scotland have governments in Westminster that we don't even elect, pursuing policies that we don't want that are often, sadly, to our disbenefit.
So if you win, will there be no general election in Scotland?
Well, the issue you raise is an interesting one. This is the point you're making about will there be a UK general election in 2015? And that's actually an issue for the UK government to consider.
Your view?